Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great. Today on the show is Zachary Williams. You can find him at zacharyjwilliams.com. And I'm really excited to meet him. Zachary has a very extensive CV and a lot of beautiful images on his website, so do go there. He has been in multiple group exhibit, Chicago, Detroit, everywhere. Let's welcome and listen to Zachary J. Williams. I'm so thrilled today. Zachary Williams is in the house.
Hello.
In Rhonda's Lounge, in the cabana or whatever you want to call it. A lot of people had a lot of different names, but it's really my model stand. First of all, I was introduced to Zachary in the Real Surreal Show in the Silos here in the Sawyer Yards by looking at your painting and being like, what the heck?
Yeah, they're two big paintings, weren't they?
Zach started out to make a triptych, but ended up with just a tube painting of the triptych. The triptych may come, who knows? Either which way, it doesn't matter. It was one of the first paintings I saw in the Real Surreal Show. It's called The Oceans Wide, and he is going to tell us a story about what his inspiration was.
The Oceans Wide was a painting I started doing as a result of living in San Francisco while I was going to college. I had a small basement dwelling with a tiny little window, and I could look out and see the ocean, and I would watch the sunset. And I began to think about the mechanics of that and what it would look like visually. So that's where The Oceans Wide came from.
Beautiful.
And then as we attempt to reassemble, it's a little bit more, a little darker, which is more of a painting on a push and pull between nature and industry. So mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of use organic forms instead of the figure to illustrate that story. And that was a result of that.
That was great. Yeah. That was great. But you are a master of the figure, too.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say.
Thank yeah. you. So you mentioned Sacramento. Is that mm-hmm. Was that your home?
I was born and raised. At 16, I left for college.
So Zach is one of those people who's like going to get on with life. And that's exactly what he did. He had gone off to take some courses and realized, I don't need to go to this high school. What's high school? So he just jumps ship and takes off.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I ended up.
Did you take correspondence courses? No, you're too young.
I forget what you're talking about, honestly.
Get out early.
Yeah. No, I was fortunate enough in high school to take, I forget what the name of it, but I was allowed to leave class after lunch so that I could take college courses.
Genius classes, something like that.
It's just more like I realized yeah. that after a certain number of credits,
right.
the rest was filler.
Okay.
So, and it was like a work study, I think it was.
Okay.
So I was allowed to leave to go to work, and that freed up my my afternoon. So I started taking college courses at the City College.
Okay.
I started to realize that the stuff that I was learning there was just basically more in depth of what I was learning in high school. So I decided to get my GED and left.
So you were in Sacramento, grew up in Sacramento, mm-hmm. and then I know that you didn't stay in Sacramento. So what happened after?
No.
I always ask everyone, did you go to art school? And you've already answered that a little bit.
It mm-hmm. was state school, so mm-hmm. it was more of a trade school. I just happened to take art. But I was attracted to the university because of a particular professor there.
Okay.
And got to work with him, Paul Perchenko, and luckily enough, there was another professor that joined on as I was there doing my undergrad, Paul Mullins, and those two were instrumental in helping me hone in my practice.
So, I bet everyone's had their little greasy spoon jobs, waitress jobs, which actually are so difficult, and I don't know, all sorts of little jobs. I had a job dumping crawfish shells when I was a kid because it gave me an opportunity to drive the truck on the levee in Louisiana. I was down. I'll drive and go dump 500 pounds of trash. Everybody's had something, you know, but we're about to hear a really sweet story about how Zach had a job tasting gum.
I was a gum taster for Wrigley.
No, he really did. It was real.
My wife and I, she went to, like I said, she was doing the PhD program.
She's a brainiac.
She is. She was doing neurobiology.
Beautiful. Okay.
And I was, at the time, my plan was to just work solely on art and try to build up a portfolio, and then I was going to apply for my MFA out there.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I didn't make as much work as I would have liked the first few years. The transition was rough. I did apply for graduate school a couple of times with no go. Oh yeah, life threw us, not a curveball, but I forget. That was probably a poor analogy, but some really awesome things happened in Chicago. We were down and out, running out of money, just hemorrhaging it. And, you know, I was starting to look for these really odd jobs, just shit I could do to bring in a little bit of cash. I was a gum taster for Wrigley for a couple of years, just doing oddball shit. You go in there and taste gum and talk about it, and that was awful.
It was awful?
It was just so boring. You just sit there at this little cubicle and
Were you required to chew a certain number?
Yeah, actually.
You go 10 times and then make a decision.
It's all timed.
Oh.
But you know, $100 here, $100 there.
Yeah, it adds up.
It's grocery money.
You have a extensive CV, what's on that CV that you're really proud of, or made a catapult or difference in your life, or something that meant to you?
There's a couple.
Okay.
There was a college night at the Palace of the Legion of Fine Arts, and it was small and intimate, but to have my work in, you know, the Rodin Sculpture Hall.
Oh my gosh.
Was, you know, just, I don't know how to really describe it. It just gave me the energy to really go forward with it and really solidify that this was what I should be doing, because it just was overwhelmingly positive. And then the one that hasn't happened yet, but I'm almost positive will be the I guess icing on the cake will be this the Black Panther exhibition in Chicago coming up.
Black Panther Traveling Art Show partners with the Esther Gates for a Chicago exhibition in honor of Illinois chapter's 50th anniversary. Opening reception November 2nd. Zach's going to talk to us about going up there to be at the opening with his painting. He's very honored to have been included.
Extremely honored to be a part of that. It's been a show that's been in the works for over a year now, and started, I think, in Oakland, and then went and had one in LA, and now is bringing it back up to Chicago. And I applied for this show not knowing we were leaving Chicago. So the organization is still allowing me to participate, because at the time I was living in Chicago, and they're okay with me.
They want residence, I guess. Okay.
So don't know how this is all going to pan out, but I imagine it's going to be pretty spectacular.
Wow. So you're the Black Panther. This is the Black Panther that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not the movie.
No, not the movie.
This which was also very cool.
The civil rights.
So you have one painting that'll be in the show. Do you want to talk about which one it is?
It's the painting Too Many Puppies.
It's a huge painting, 50 by 60. He said he stretched it like 3 times. Is he going to get it in his car?
It's a little boy surrounded by a sea of stuffed animals, pound puppies, which were coincidentally the toys I sought comfort in when I was a child.
Okay.
It's about the moment when this young boy no longer needs the support and comfort of these pound puppies, these toys, and they're replaced by his new toy, which is an assault rifle.
Right.
So it's not so much a coming of age, more or less a loss of innocence.
I was going to say, yeah.
So,
you have that theme, I think, in a few other paintings, too. Zachary paints, for instance, a 16 by 20, the painting that we're going to talk about, calling it the Dare painting because he hasn't finished it. but it's about, he said it's like 16 by 20, took a couple days to do the drawing and about 4 weeks to do the underpainting. And I think that means a 6 to 8 hour day in the studio. He usually has at least 2 to 3 layers on his paintings. I particularly love the little boy that has a Dare t-shirt on and and his little Coke cans in those beer bong hats or whatever you call them.
Yeah, that's so, oh man.
What's the title of that painting?
I haven't finished that one yet. That's not okay.
It's in a grisaille state right now.
It's just a drawing. It's just a tonal sketch.
Okay.
So
I have to tell everyone that Zachary is a fine artist in the true sense of the word. And I am very impressed with his studio. He's mentioned the word practice and one of his teachers, which I'd like to come back to and see if they made influence on how you set that practice up. I love that you say practice, because I know every time I go to do a painting and we talk about this, like, I'm like, I don't know how to paint. You know, it's a practice. I like the word, using practice. But you have these, you do things in a Renaissance method. What can I say that? You have the underpainting, you have the tonal painting, you have the very finely, highly rendered drawing studies prior to transferring to the substrate. Which are canvas and wood mostly
okay. Canvas. A few panels.
You have to go see Zachary's studio. That's all I can tell you. It's picture perfect. It's amazing.
It's a small space, so I have to keep it clean.
It's amazing. Anyway, so it's in its tonal state right now.
Yeah, so this was, let me back up here.
Okay.
I was trying to start a new series. Part of that new series was going to be smaller work, because it was getting really cumbersome to lug around these really massive paintings and really expensive.
So
I was looking for something a little bit more intimate, and so I wanted to work with the figure but still have a narrative component to that. And I was going to bring in the element of children as the focal point. But then we immediately we found out that we were moving to Houston. And it was almost like literally in 2 weeks, our life, everything changed. Mm-hmm. So that particular series has been put on the back burner. So Dare never made it to painting, because we just had to move.
Okay.
So it's still in the drawing phase. And I've been recently toying with bringing that series back, because I've been having some blocks with this other bigger story series that I'm working. So hopefully you'll see that in a painting very, very soon, along with some others.
Clearly you're painting for yourself, but you're painting these stories and these analogies and narratives that are important to society. You're telling something. The loss of innocence is that's a cruel thing.
It is.
It's very difficult thing. You're not a parent yet, but you've mentioned to me that you hope to become a parent someday.
Yes, very soon.
You're a young fella.
Yeah, well.
So and I'm a parent, and I can tell you it's a mourning that you realize, you know, when your children grow up, kind of thing. That's really important, and you've come up with that, and you're making those paintings about that story.
Yeah, I do think that if there's no message in the painting, there's no painting.
Mm-hmm.
If why do it?
Right.
Why just waste your time making something pretty? If there's no message behind it, there's no purpose for it, then the viewer's not gonna see that message. It's going to just be, you know, space.
Right.
So no, it's very important to me to deliver a message. The hardest part is figuring out how to do that. To reach as many people as I can, because I do want to shock to the point where I'd like to get people to think about something other than their day-to-day. I want them to witness the importance of the social narrative.
Right.
But it's not easy. That's why I work so slow, because I will, if it doesn't make that succinct point, then it's not worth painting, which is why I draw it out. I'll play with the composition. cut and paste. I'll spend months on something, and if it doesn't have that kind of that energy, then I'm not going to move forward with. So,
well, we're glad you're in Houston.
Yeah,
I know it's an adjustment for you. You're getting to move at a slower pace.
It's very, very slow compared to how I usually operate.
I know. So,
I don't want to compare it to any other city. I like to go fast.
Okay.
So.
Okay. But you paint slow. Think about it.
I know. It's my yin and yang. So
yeah.
It's fucked with my equilibrium here.
Yeah. So. Well, I hope you find that it's a friendly place and it's going to become home and you can make friends here. I mean, it's the people that make it because this is a swamp. You know that, right?
It is a swamp.
Yeah.
It's like a swamp.
But like the podcast says, it's hot, but the people are cool.
Yeah.
Let's hope you have that experience.
I've had some really wonderful experiences.
Okay.
Met some really great people.
Okay. And are you open on second Saturdays, or people can make appointments to visit your studio to look at your work, or how would they find you?
I work there.
Okay.
All the time.
Sweet.
I usually 6 days a week.
Wow.
Celia will come in with me on Saturday, and she'll do her work.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday we usually just go shopping for groceries and laundry and all the household duties.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm there all the time. You can reach out to me on my Facebook page or Instagram or email me from the website. So.
Zachary Williams, artist.
Zachary J. Williams, yeah.
Zachary J. Williams. And your studio is in Sabine Street, which is one of the newer buildings.
Yeah, 147.
Studio 147 Sabine Street, which is a beautiful building. It's new on the Sawyer Yards campus. Gets busy, crowded out here sometimes with traffic.
Yeah.
Shoot
me a line. I'm available.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, thank you so much
for
coming.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it too.
Anytime.
I really, really do. It was great. Thank you. Williams for coming into the studio today and to talk about his work, his studio, which I encourage everyone to visit at some point. You can find him on Facebook and Instagram especially, and check out a picture that we took together. I keep meaning to take pictures of me up here interviewing folks, and he did it today, so that's pretty cool. I'm really, really happy you came in. Thank you.